Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome with the Forgiveness Doctor, Michael Rice. We also have Dr. Kim Hayes, and we welcome you to the show. Today is April the 1st, 2015. I tried to think of some April Fool's joke to pull, and I couldn't think of one. So we do welcome you to the show. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and your voice is a little shaky. A few words are cutting out there, but we could understand everything you said, and so thank you. We're delighted to be here. We're honored. We're blessed to have each and every person that listens to the show to be on the team, to support and assist in being the listening ear that receives this information and therefore carries the energy of it further and further afield around the planet. And then the next level, of course, is to take the tools and start to work with them. And as you work with them to bring about a mind that's based in the active presence of love is such a huge contribution to make the world, especially at this time. And there's so many issues going on in the world that need the presence of a mind based in love that is just amazing. I was looking yesterday on Facebook at a post about prayer in schools. As though prayer were putting your order into the cosmic gift catalog, and it seems like it was like dropping the gauntlet. It's a reason for people to fight, and it's just so interesting to watch that something that is about bringing love into human existence, into human expression, is focused and based for so many people today. It just shows how deeply people have been tricked in hostility. And so I did a post. If you want to take a look at it, you can look under whyagain.org is the website, is the Facebook page, sweetie. And while you're there, you could like us and link to us. But in the post, I explained that the word prayer actually means in Aramaic to set a trap for God, which sounds like, or set a trap for love. And it sounds like a pretty strange idea to our ears, but when you think in terms of, and I thank the stars for the fact that I have a background in electronics and a side study in physics, that these things, when you hear them from the Aramaic, when you've got the brain cells, they all make sense. And so when I think set a trap for God, where most people go, well, that sounds crazy. Who would want you? We're going to trap God. Who do you think you are? But when you think in terms of your TV antenna, it's a trap. It is an energetic device that captures a certain frequency. If it's oriented toward channel 2, then it captures channel 2. And you get bright, clear picture and sound. That's a trap for channel 2. If somebody bends the arms on the antenna, all of a sudden, channel 2 is not going to come through very clearly because the antenna has been disoriented. And you look at the number of people in our culture that have been disoriented, have been removed from their human lives. Their, so to speak, their antennas have been bent. Their words have been twisted. And so talking about prayer in schools becomes something to fight about and something to rage about and something to condemn about and something to tell somebody they're going to hell over and something to tell somebody else they're manipulative Christian. I mean, it's just amazing to look at the comments around this idea. And so when you recognize that prayer is to set a trap for love, to become, to learn to orient yourself so that you become the space where love shows up in the world, what is there to fight about? Who could argue about that being in schools? That if children were to enter into, from kindergarten on forward, into practicing the active presence of love, how cool would that be? And on the post I go on and speak about, gee, you know, who knows? It might even catch on and go back and start to create that space between parents and children. Who knows? It might even catch on with Congress. It might even go to the military. We might get people who actually, instead of functioning out of the rage and the hatred they've been taught, and yes, the crime of hatred is taught within the military. You just listen to the vets who've been through the training, and they were taught to hate. Now, we have hate crime laws in this country. I think it'd be cool if somebody started prosecuting under hate crime laws, because hate destroys human life. And so we explained, or I explained in the post, that this is about bringing forward the active presence of love. Who knows who we might touch if we were to make that a practice in our schools, in our homes, in our, I mean, who knows? It might even go into the churches. You look at how many churches, their language is based in hostility and fear. And you realize that they have nothing to do with the teachings of the man named Yeshua or any of the other spiritual master, any of them. It was all about, how do we get to the practice of love? How do we get to live as true human beings out of this space of compassion and love? And so check out the post, and if you feel inclined, I'm actually going to redo it, and I'm going to add some more notes from the presentation, Living, Not Saying, the Lord's Prayer, pointing out that the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer. It's another mistaken understanding from the Greeks. You know, if you look at that passage in the ancient scriptures, you hear the disciples saying to Yeshua, teach us how to be the active space of love. They say, teach us to pray. And you'll notice that he says, you know, don't repeat and repeat like the pagans do. That'll just throw your mind off track. That's coming from an intellectual space. But he says, go into the closet and close the door. And as you do that, learn to live as the active presence of love. And your reward will be the active presence of love. And, you know, if you think about it, if somebody said to you, George, teach me how to sing, would you sing them a song? Now, that might be part of teaching someone to sing, but you wouldn't turn around and sing someone who knew nothing about singing. You wouldn't turn around and sing them a song when they said, teach us to sing. What would you do? You'd give them some instructions on how to sing. When they said to Yeshua, teach us to pray, teach us how to be the active space of love, he didn't say, he gave a set of instructions for how to orient yourself and be the space where you capture and express love in the world. How cool is that? And then, you know, we spoke, I guess it's 10 days or so ago, Jeannie and I went and saw the movie Cinderella, which was one of the best Disney movies I've seen in a long time. Cinderella wasn't asked to kill anybody, as was Alice in Wonderland. Alice, when she went down the rabbit hole, was told that she was there to kill, and she said, I don't kill. And, the Mad Hatter says to her, what's wrong with you that you won't kill? I mean, how insane a thing is that to put into a cartoon and put in front of children? But anyway, Cinderella wasn't invited to kill, and in fact, she is taught to hold to a space of love in the movie. It's really pretty cool the way they put it together. If you look at it, now there is, of course, the reality that people could interpret that, you know, oh, well, it's just the old, myth of the prince is going to come along and save her. But in fact, if you look at it really carefully, what you'll see is that Alice is taught by her mother in the very beginning when she's very young. There's nothing more powerful than the words of a mother. And she teaches her to have courage, kindness. And that which was implanted in her mind, courage and kindness, runs her life. She finds herself in a disaster of a situation, really horrible situation. Demonstrated very well in the film. And she sticks to courage and kindness. And what happens is she creates a result of being removed from the dastardly situation.
Now, somebody could say, oh, well, that Prince thing, that's just, you know, that's a way to disempower women. Excuse me. She was shown how to be a creator and create her life out of kindness and courage. And in every case, you know, something is going to have to show up to be part of that creation, part of that result. You know, there's the old story about the guy who's in the major flood, and he's up on his roof, and somebody comes along in a little rowboat and says, here, jump in the boat, come with me. And it's like, no, I prayed to God. God's going to send me somebody to save me. And so the boat goes away, and, you know, along comes a motorboat, and, you know, come on, get in the boat. And the guy says, no, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And, you know, after several rounds of that, the water rises high enough and he drowns, and he gets there and he says, God, what happened? Why didn't you save me? He said, I sent you a rowboat. I sent you a canoe. I sent you a motorboat. What do you want? When we're taught to create, we co-create with other people. And I think that Disney movie, Cinderella, very powerfully showed her creating out of that which is implanted in her early youth, and she gets cooperation and support from the world in bringing it about and has her trauma relieved. And then just today on a Facebook post, there's another movie coming out called Inside Out from Disney, which I think is going to be a major contribution to the work. Jump on the Facebook page and take a look at it, or go look at the trailers, Inside Out, and it's a little girl, and it shows these characters. It's kind of a takeoff on What the Bleep, because what it shows is these characters in her mind. She's got anger, she's got fear, she's got sadness, and so it demonstrates, as she, you know, her mom says to her, how are you doing today, dear? And she's like, oh, I'm not so sure. And then you get a shot inside of her mind and hear these voices of anger and fear. And, you know, and it's really very well demonstrated to show that, you know, who do you have in your wall? I mean, in your mind, what do you have in your mind? What voices are there running your life? Who's telling you the meaning of everything that you see? You know, if you go back to the ancient Aramaic, there's this story about the getting rid of the money changers in the temple, and it's made to look like some sort of an anger act and something about a church. But in fact, that story's about our temple, this body-mind unit, and people unknowingly have these money changers that they look at a situation and they interpret anger. The voice that goes off in their heads is that of anger or rage or guilt or grief or fear or self-deprecation. And I don't know, it does, you know, the trailer doesn't show that much. The movie comes out in a few weeks, but the trailer that is there shows very effectively how all of these voices inside of us are vying to run our lives and to build our perception on the inside of our eyeballs that we're sure is about something outside of us. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool contribution to the work, and so it sounds to me like maybe Disney's turning around and is doing some really decent things in the world, which is pretty cool. Of course, we'll have to see the whole movie to see how that all ends up, but it's awesome to watch how many places in the world the cooperation's coming forward, and the more people who, you know, this ancient physicist, Yeshua, said a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. The more people who become the leaven, the more people who choose to function as the active presence of love, rather than listening to the voices in their heads of rage, of guilt, of grief, of fear, and all of that, what happens if we choose to heal those voices, we choose to heal the part of our minds that hold things that don't belong in us. And as we make that shift, we become part of the leavening that leavens the whole loaf. And as I've said many times before, I'm sure he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about humanity. So each person that chooses to steal or clean a money changer out of their temple, if you have a tendency toward rage, take the reality management worksheet, start to work with it, and watch your rage disappear. The voice for rage in your head will disappear. That's called, interestingly enough, in the ancient Aramaic language, forgiveness. And you'll notice that we live in a culture that's taught you that if you have one of those voices in your head that somebody else enraged you, it's all somebody else's fault that you're enraged, but you're going to be nice about it, you're going to forgive them, you're going to let them off the hook for the voice in your head. I mean, how bizarre, backward, inside out, upside down, insane is that one? If you have a voice for rage, for guilt, for grief, for self-deprecation, for pain, for drama and trauma inside your head, take the tool, take the worksheet, and forgive it. Apply forgiveness to that voice in your head. Apply forgiveness to that energy inside of you and remove it. Get done with it. Remove it from your bloodline. If you don't know how that's done, you're certainly welcome to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. And if you click on the bullseye in the middle of the page, that bullseye will open a whole series of links, all free stuff about how to get to the forgiveness process, the worksheet. There are several radio shows where we walk people through the whole process. Jump on it. Have at it. If you'd like to do something that supports us financially to acquire those tools, you're certainly welcome to go to the catalog and buy the video, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? There's a two-hour, there's a four-hour, there's a book on CD that you can buy. There's a four-hour CD of a live workshop of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And certainly we would appreciate the support. Taking this work to every mind on the planet is a fairly costly procedure, and we could easily tomorrow plan out the spending of $10 million to take it and just splash the planet with on a whole other level. Right now, we don't have $10 million, so we're taking everything that we do have and using it to take this as far afield as we can. And, of course, this radio show is a part of that effort. And so, you know, go to the website, get the material for free, start using forgiveness. That's a huge contribution to make. And if you're in a position and this has changed your life, if it's been significant to you, then we invite you to make a huge contribution financially and support us in taking it forward and making it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So the catalog is there. There's a on the homepage, upper right corner, you can click if you want to buy something that will support us and the materials that will support you. There are 15 different DVDs. There are five different, and they're each 2 hours long. There's a four-hour long DVD. There's a four-hour CDs, book on CD. There's lots of choice. You can download the book for free, too. That's there on the website in a half a dozen different languages. So we're delighted if you take the tools and use it, and the only support we ever get from you is you live it. That'd be awesome. And we're delighted if you choose to financially support this radio show and this work and help us to take it to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. Beyond that, Dr. Tim, are you there, sir?
I'm here. I'm well.
Awesome. What's exciting in your world?
Well, we had a support group last night, and you were talking about understanding that if somebody has rage in them, that these tools are available to help dismantle the rage. And so we did a bit of a unique session last night with another Dr. Veldheim session on relationships, body talk thing. And then we had discussion about that and previous worksheets people had done and then offered a worksheet process and somebody jumped on it because they had rage. And they were aware of rage that they conservatively judged on a scale of 0 to 10. Theirs was a solid 12. And it was murderous rage or castrating rage. And they were very uncomfortable having this energy in them. So they did this worksheet process you were just mentioning that's called Ancient Aramaic Process of Forgiveness or the Technology of Forgiveness that you make available for free on your website. And they did one in the group and moved from a 12 out of 10 upset to a zero. And it was pretty dramatic. It was pretty amazing. And it was very quick, efficient, and powerful, as so many of those worksheet processes are when we do them in the group. And the person had this anger at another group of people. And the goal that we helped her formulate was that these people would love and respect others and emulate the work of Jesus or Yeshua. And when she canceled that goal for this other group of people to do that and looked inside herself and asked to be shown the hidden part of her mind, she she brought her hand up to her forehead as though to smack herself in the forehead, and she said, it just hit me, it just slammed me, that this was anger at myself. And there were tears, and there was a release of energy, and there was some discussion, and we finished up the worksheet process. And then as she sat there, she still had some anger at herself and a tightness in her jaw, so we did a few rounds of the faster EFT tapping, and she left at the end of that smiling, laughing, joking with others. And once again, I just have to say that if you haven't experienced this, if you haven't been able to get rid of anger, fear, sadness, or even murderous rage with whatever process you're using, prayer, meditation, therapy, if it hasn't resulted in tremendous shifts in a short period of time, I recommend that you either pick up the worksheet process on your own and get busy doing it, or you find a support group to help you, because it is beyond words. Lovely, lovely, lovely.
Yay, and you know, it always still amazes me just what people drop into once they get to the core of that forgiveness process, and what they've been hiding from themselves. And interesting how much rage there is in the churches, and that this particular situation you're talking about was somebody who was enraged, murderous rage at somebody not living the teachings of Jesus. I mean, it just, you know, what have we been taught? By whom? With what kind of hostility and fear have we been taught the teachings of a man who said, love those who hate you, do good to those who despitefully use you? Kind of reminds me of a post that Patrick put on Facebook this morning. He said, I was watching a dog wag its tail and was amazed at how easily the dog was amused. And then I realized that I was amused watching the dog chase its tail. I thought, well, Patrick, for that one. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue or anybody in the chat room with a comment or a question for us? You're not coming through, sweetie. Are you on mute? Okay, well, we're not hearing you at all, sweetheart.
Okay.
Oh, there you are.
I don't. There's nobody with a hand up, and there's no questions in the chat room.
Okay, cool. Well, then, let's create an invitation. If you're out there and you had heard Dr. Tim sharing, let's say Tim and I were on a platform and he was sharing this story about a woman with a level 12 on a scale of 1 to 10 murderous rage, and was able to drop that totally and go into laughter, would you be wanting to know, wait a minute, what is this? How does this work? If you had heard Tim and I on a platform together in your hometown, your local gathering place, and you'd heard me talk about the Lord's Prayer idea, that it's not a prayer, in fact, it's a set of instructions. If you were to hear the presentation on the Disney movies that are coming out, what would your question be? If Tim and I walked down off of the platform together, would you be coming over and asking myself and or Tim a question? And if you would, and I know from experience that virtually everybody in the audience wants to come over and ask a question. Sometimes people hold themselves back because they're nervous or whatever. And if you feel like, oh, gee, if I push that button, I'm on the phone and my voice will be shaky or I'll be nervous, and we just invite you to cancel your need to look good. And go ahead and push one and ask your question. We'd love to hear it. And you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, my question's so simple, I'd feel embarrassed asking it. And actually, the simplest questions are often the most important, because when someone reaches a certain level of doing their work and then they get stuck, it's always in one of the simple basics that they're stuck. And so when someone asks that question and reminds them, bingo, that's what makes the breakthrough at the next level for other people. So we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear your questions. And let's see if Jeannie's got a hand up. No hands up. Well, come on, you guys. Let's play here. Dr. Tim, anything else? Any themes that you're seeing in practice today?
Well, the it isn't coincidence. It's how these things run, and anger at others is the theme. And anger about circumstances that are other than what I want is the theme. And so I mentioned the other day that I was reading Guy Finley's newest book, and he's got some lovely descriptions in there about how everything that happens, no matter how in a temporary situation it seems to be overwhelming me or I don't seem to be up to the task, is not happening to me, it's happening for me. And what I allow to pass through me and how I allow myself to grow and change in response to what is brought to me in the world demonstrates to me the proof that life is about change, that life is constant change. And one of the things, and this was so clear last night in the worksheet process, was one of the things that prevents me from growing and changing in response to life events as I'm intended to is a belief that somebody outside of me is causing my upset, is a belief that something outside of me should be different than it is. And when I hold that position, I can't focus on myself, allow within myself, let go of what's less than love in me that's actually holding me back. And to my eye and ear last night, this was a stunning example of somebody who was absolutely laser focused, locked in on somebody else, and the more they focused on these people outside of them and the damage that they were sure was being caused by what this person said or did, the more pain our group member was in.
Right.
And from that position of pain, all she could do was focus more on the people and things outside of her, and the more she focused on the people and things outside of her, the more pain she was in. Now, I understand, because I was raised in this culture that has me focus on the outside, and it says, you know, if your internal alarm goes off of anger, fear, sadness, or hurt, that means somebody outside has done it to you and something is wrong and somebody needs to change. And you want to search around outside of yourself and figure out who or what is wrong and who needs to change and force them to change. But all that ever leads to is more chasing around and trying to change other people, which I can't do, and more pain inside myself. And, you know, time and again in our support group, when we realize most of the time, if not every single time, that I'm upset about anyone or anything else that's happened outside of me, it's because I'm still holding negative judgments against myself for having done the same or similar thing. And until I go in and release and dismantle those energies and beliefs and judgments against myself, my pain is going to be with me because I'm creating it. So that's been the theme so far today, anger at other people and the pain that it creates inside of me.
Right. And anger apparently at other people. One of the things that that I always do with folks in working with them, when they put the word because around their anger, their fear, their sadness, their grief, their pain, their trauma, I usually stop them mid-sentence and say, well, actually, notice that you're telling yourself a lie. You're not angry because Charlie did this. You're angry because you have anger in you. And if you'd like to delete your anger, Charlie can do that until the cows come home. You won't be angry. You may not like the fact that he's doing it. It may be inappropriate, but you don't have to experience the distress, the disease, and the neuropeptides that go along with anger. You can do something different. And it's like a revelation to most people because the whole culture is based in that thinking that somebody outside of us is caused. And so it's always fun to see the changes that take place when we move forward in the world and our understanding of the truth of how it's going. So Jeannie tells me that we have a caller. So let's say hello to our caller. Area code 541. I can only guess who this must be.
Yes, it's Rex. April Fool's. Oh, that's funny. Okay,
there you go.
So I am overjoyed that we're talking about anger. Because I really have it, and it's just that elusive, slippery thing, and then it isn't really, but, you know, here's my main pattern. I avoid. So I avoid anger at me as I perceive it, and I avoid anger that I have out there somewhere, and so that it's a huge thwarting in my life that I've created to, you know, block my wonderful flow. And I have incredible fun energy when I have it, and that's what I want to keep going with. So, okay, so I have goals. I have all these goals. I can hear them already, like canceling my goal to have it fun all the time and canceling my goal to avoid. So I want to mention, I finally started my support group, and with only one person, but that's okay. It's okay. And between the two of us, there are so many worksheets on so many things. So, and things that I just didn't even expect. So I'm trusting Rukita Kucha to just, you know, I'm just trusting the way the work works and presenting the tool to her and you know, noticing that, wow, is this in me? And I hear you talk about that a lot, so I'm okay. But I'm just saying that it's amazing what's coming up, and really uncomfortable at times, and yet I want to get it out of me. So I have surrendered, and I am committed. So here it is. And Well, you know, avoidance, as much as I say I'm committed, avoidance is really big. It's like a form of resistance, I suppose. So what would an initial worksheet look like on avoidance? Just putting that into 1A, I guess, but it's so broad, you know? So, okay,
well,
I could,
if you look at...
So, here's my other part. What I think... What I do when I finally give up is I just say, okay, I'm just going to do a worksheet on whatever comes to mind and not worry about if it's the one, the big one, you know. Okay, there you go.
I'm going to jump in first. I would suggest pick one incident. I mean, even though it seems like it's a big pattern that continues or that happens repeatedly, instead of trying to do the whole thing, just pick one incident and do the worksheet on just that one incident, and then pick another incident. You know, that your goal and your feeling and your thought may be the same, but the actual incident itself may be different. That's what I call backing into a worksheet. You fill in the, this is what I'm feeling, this is the thought behind it, and this is what I want. And then pick different times when that has been the case. And then finish filling out the worksheet after that. And it'll, even though it seems like that main part is the same, you'll be doing it on little pieces. It's kind of like, you know, if you got this big cloud of, you know, procrastination or fear or whatever, then you take it in little bites and eventually the whole thing dissolves instead of trying to make the whole thing dissolve all at one time.
Okay, which is that same tendency of wanting to get done with this. When's it ever going to be over? But thank you, Jeannie. So instead, just incident by incident, and that actually unravels and unties in a more gentle way, really, which is basically what I can handle. You know, it's Rukita Kucha. It's God never gives you more than you can handle. So, me... trying to give myself too much is a way of avoiding.
Right, because then you become overwhelmed, and procrastination is just, you know, having too many goals and being overwhelmed with it. And so breaking it down into smaller bite-sized pieces makes it more manageable. Plus, then you can see the end result. You can see, oh, okay, I can get past that one little piece. Whereas if you do the whole big thing and then you don't see a great big change in the whole picture, then you think you haven't done anything. So taking it as small bites, small steps, then you can see your accomplishments and give yourself the attaboys to and the courage then to move to the next incident.
Right. That's good. Okay. And when you use the word rather than the whole big picture, I recognize that when we see the even bigger picture of who we are and the love and our true essence, when we're restored to that, everything seems small and as far as the irritations. And the bigger picture that I'm really in is doing this work. And just that's all it is just take these little bites and do it, and it serves the whole big picture in ways that I don't have to control or know, really, just trust. By bigger picture, I mean, the bigger picture of I'm here to heal, you know. So just do the process.
Julie?
Yeah?
Julie, let's look at the macro picture, the big picture. And let me just do this kind of outrageous guess that, based on your conversation, perhaps you had a power person or two or three or four that expressed a lot of rage. Let me just see if that outrageous guess happens to be accurate.
Yes.
Okay. So remember the dynamic from the codependence workshop. When I have a power person, and for those who are new to the work, a power person is someone who had more control over your life than you did at some stage in your life and was not functioning as love, we took on the energy and the dynamics created in interaction with that power person. Until those dynamics are resolved, there are only three behaviors possible. And the behaviors that are expressed represent our level of stress. So notice right now you don't have a lot of unachieved goals in your face, and so your stress is low. And so notice that you're doing what you did to get along with your power person. You're having a nice conversation. You're asking questions, et cetera, et cetera. But when stress starts to build, everyone, and this is the dynamic that runs the planet, when stress starts to build, which is one of the reasons to do daily worksheets to keep the stress level down, because stress is created by goals. But when it starts to build, what everyone who's not resolved their power person dynamic does is they flip out of doing what they did to get along with their power person, and the automatic decision system, the voice in their head that we were talking about earlier, causes them to do whatever they did to resist and survive with their power person. And then the next level is when they become ultra-stressed, they'll do what their power person did to them that they hated the most. And the reason is because we're energetic beings. Genetically, if we had a power person, and usually a parent, who raged a lot, then genetically we received that rage. And then through 1,000 experiences and interactions, when the power person's goals were not being met and they went into rage, they literally poured out an energy. Now, think of a tuning fork. When I hit a middle C tuning fork on the desk and I put it in front of a second middle C tuning fork, does that second tuning fork have any choice about whether or not it takes on the energy of the first tuning fork that's vibrating? It has no choice at all. It just absorbs that energy. So when we come into the world and have a parent who isn't functioning as love, every time they pour out an energy, we tend, especially if we're the object of it, to absorb that energy. So it's just like a tuning fork. We store that energy. Of course, the power person then pukes on us because we did what the power person did, and so it's further reinforced. And so we put inhibitors in. We learn to shut that down. You look at people who do excessive amounts of alcohol, and what happens with alcohol is the inhibitors are knocked out, and they do that power person behavior, and they get themselves in trouble because the behavior that most power persons do when the stress is up and the chips are down is actually criminal. In the culture, it would be labeled as criminal. And so somebody gets out in a nightclub, has, you know, eight drinks, the brain is so compromised, there's not enough oxygen flow to the brain for the brain to function fully, and so the inhibitors are the first thing to go, and all of a sudden they're raging like the power person did and reaching out with their fists and hitting somebody. They end up in jail. So there's no choice about that. That's all an energetic dynamic. Where the choice lies is each time it comes up, you can choose to engage in forgiveness and peel off another layer of it and peel off another layer. Now, when this peeling off forgiveness process was being described 2,000 years ago, you remember Peter said to Yeshua, well, how many of these worksheets do we have to do anyway? How many times must we forgive? Is seven times enough? And in Aramaic, he said, no, you're going to peel these layers off 77 times 70 times, which means an infinite number of times till you're complete with it. Now, if you think about, did you know your grandmother and grandfather on your mother's side, your grandmother and your grandfather on your father's side?
Yes.
And if you look back at them, did they pour out the same kind of rage when the stress was up?
I never saw it. Nope.
Oftentimes they soften as they get older, but we might remember stories from our parents of when the power person poured it out on them.
Yeah, or it was just really controlled and suppressed. That's what I think. But,
and so if you knew anything about your great-grandparents, somewhere between 1 and all 16 had the same kind of rage and poured it out on your grandparents. And if you look at your great-great-grandparents, somewhere between 1 and all 32 had the same rage and poured it out on your great-great-grandparents. So, you know, when you start looking at the work that needs to be done, I think that it really helps to go, I've taken on a major project here. You know, that old story about how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You don't decide I'm going to eat the whole elephant. You can't do this whole project at once. It just isn't going to happen. So when you recognize the enormity of the work that you have to do, how many generations and what kind of intensity was there in this rage, then be patient with yourself and just make the choice that each time it comes up, you're going to peel off another layer. Each time it comes up, you're going to peel off another layer. Now, as you peel it off, the tendency will be for it to just go still, and you're back to your normal state of being. But that doesn't mean you're finished with it. You know, the lady that Tim was just describing, who did the worksheet in the intensive last night, she may have more layers to peel off, but she was able to go from a level 12 murderous rage to a very pleasant zero and laughing and smiling. Doesn't mean there isn't more work to be done. But as you peel those layers off, you come to the point where here's what will happen. A situation will occur where my power person dynamic would mean I'd go into a roaring rage, and all of a sudden I start looking around. What happened here? This situation occurred, and I don't have any roaring rage. What happened to my rage? You'll wake up one day to the fact that it's just gone. Having gone in and silenced those voices in you, forgiven the energy behind those voices, they're removed. And they're just no longer there to advise you. You'll find yourself in a situation, you go, man, I remember I used to really rage at this sort of thing, and, you know, I can just smile, and I don't like it, but I can smile at them and hold the space. And I can paint a different picture on the inside of my eyeballs about whatever that situation is, because I have a different energy in me about it. And when I come from that different energy in me about it, and that different energy is my human life, love, then I paint the inside of my eyeballs with a picture made with love at its root. And out of my eyes, I spray that love on everybody that I look at that's involved in that situation. And
they miraculously start to change. It's just like amazing when that happens. And that's the beauty and the power and the potential of the forgiveness process. But be patient with yourself. You've got a major project that you're doing. Take it one step at a time.
And it helps.
And bless yourself and acknowledge yourself for the progress that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will build a different response than the one your power person put in you. And it'll be one of self-appreciation rather than self-deprecation. It'll be one of self-blessing rather than one of self-cursing. It just becomes a whole different game. You're shifting to servants in your own mind. And that's, you know, we go back to the ancient teachings of Yeshua, and he says, you know, we are the servant or the master bound by the servants in our own temple, our own household. If we are bound by our hostility or fear, if we're bound by a personal code that is generational, based in hostility or fear, then it runs us. When we reverse that game, we get to live in a different world. And you don't reverse a centuries-old dynamic like that overnight. It just takes time. Bless yourself and be patient with you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yay.
Awesome
work.
Is that scripture? Was that a scripture, Master? The master is bound by our servants in our temple?
Yeah. Well, it says in your own household. You know, I'm not very good at chapter and verse, but just do a Google of master bound by the servants in their own household, and I'm sure you'll find that. And Jeannie's probably already looking it up. If I know Jeannie, who's awesome like that.
So, I had a question. I have two questions, one that's been hanging around. The first one is, which DVD is it that you go into about the power person dynamic and the goals?
Codependence to interdependence is the one that where we talk about the power person dynamic and introduce that whole concept and explain what happens with it. The one that more focuses on goals, of course, I talk about that somewhat in just about every video, but the one that's really focused there is getting the stress you need. And we look at the fact that all behavior is a response to goals. And so when I keep, you know, the thing that causes me to move to the unconscious expression of my power person dynamic is, number one, I have that dynamic within me, and number two, I become ultra stressed. If I'm doing, you know, 5 worksheets a day, and that's one of the reasons for suggesting people do 5 worksheets a day, especially in the initial phases of doing this work, what happens is you'll remember that each time you do a worksheet, you're canceling a goal. Stress is created by goals. And so when you make a regular habit of canceling your goals, you'll notice when your body and mind are getting stressed, you'll stop, you'll cancel goals, and you won't have to get back to the level of that power person dynamic. You'll just know that, okay, I've still got some work to do here, and you'll just see that your fruit, the fruit of your mind, the expression from your mind will change. You know, they said to Yeshua, well, how do you tell where somebody's unconscious is really at? He said, look at their fruit. Look at the result that they produce. And that's the
Okay.
Yeah, so it's fun. That was a nice breath. That's the kind of breath that releases that energy. That's it. Awesome. Cool.
We're so grateful for breathing, aren't we? So the other one is, I keep hearing you and Dr. Tim talk about your new Why Is This Happening to Me Again DVD set coming out soon.
We're working on it. Still being edited. We're working on it.
Okay. All right. I just wondered, you know, if I missed it somehow, I'd like to make sure I get one. And so that's all on that.
We'll make sure it'll be splashed all over when we get it finished. You know, we've added so many additional workshops and just had more on our plate than we've been able to keep up with. But we're working on it.
Expansion. The fruits of your labor. There you go. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is. We added piece
by
piece.
Too many fruits. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much. So I actually feel calm about my approach now to the big anger thing. small bites and just keep discovering what's there. It's more than just being afraid of it. Yeah. Okay.
Julie.
Thanks. Yeah.
I hope I'm coming through okay on this. I had to move again. I either have a cell signal or an internet signal. It seems like I can't have both at the same time. I just got a text from Michelle, and she said to tell you thank you for your questions and for this whole conversation, Michael, that this was spot on the message that she needed. And she gave herself as the example of, you know, seeing people and herself that have done the work and, you know, come so far, done intensives or whatever, and then seems like there's a backslide and that you could almost get into the hopeless, helpless, you know, that there's no way that you can get to the other side of it and that, you know, you just have to keep chugging away. And she said, you know, that's the space this morning too. So she said her car is too noisy right now, or she would call in, but she said definitely to say thank you from her for this whole conversation. And Julie, thank you for asking the question.
Oh, thank you, Michelle.
And Michelle, that's fun that you're at the next level. How exciting is that? But I know it's not Dr. Feelgood, but just know that, you know, through these eyeballs and from this mind and every mind that's listening to the show, we're surrounding you and sending you that active presence of love that will just help you slide through this layer, peel it off, and get to the next. So that's awesome. So did you have another question for us, Julie?
Well, this little tweaky thing just came up about my fear of being a nuisance and asking for too much help and support. And I'm seeing through it. I'm just mentioning it because
good catch.
It's amazing that you, Michael, and everyone, all of us who do this work, I've had so much help from people I do worksheets with, we all know how to give the support because we all know that we need the support. And I think I'm learning to receive it more. I'm learning to actually ask for support and receive it. So that's a big one too. Instead of being out there in some anger zone, you know, not knowing what to do.
Notice your breath is restricted in this conversation. Notice how your breath is restricted in this conversation. So let me ask another really silly, off-the-wall question.
Okay.
When you were, quote-unquote, labeled a nuisance by your power person, what did they do to you?
Oh, well, the ultimate was they put me away. Yeah, okay. I was put in my room to just be by myself. With no real instruction or tools, yeah. Which seemed like a non-violent punishment in those days, but it had different effects.
Well, actually, what they've shown, and you do some research, there's some prisons in America that were built specifically to put people in isolation, in solitary confinement. And you know what they found? Is that the people they put in solitary confinement go stark, raving, mad. And I mean insane. It is one of the worst punishments that there is. So recognize that as a child, you were subjected to that, and those layers are going to need to come up, and you can breathe through them. Are you breathing with me? You can breathe through them. You can press presence love in them and let all of that go. No, it is not a gentle form of punishment. It is a horrendous act to isolate. And along with that, you know, the only reason a power person would do that is because you as the child resonated something in them based in hostility or fear. And so the construct that they made of their beloved child, and I guarantee you were a beloved child, but the construct that was made from what you resonated in them was based in hostility and fear. That's why they would do that form of punishment. And they couldn't handle that hostility and fear, and so you were removed for whatever reason internally for them. But to recognize the other component of your healing process is that And remember the conversation yesterday, we talked about reality being a construct. It is literally something that we paint on the inside of our eyeballs with what's resonating in us. And so, and with that construct, we spray the energy of that construct on everybody that's involved. So just recognize that what your parents, when they put you in that isolation, were spraying on you was that rage or fear or whatever it was that was up for them. It really doesn't matter what it was. You just need to look at yourself under stress, and you'll know exactly what it was. And so recognize that that's going to be another component of your healing process. Yeah. So, you know, okay, take it and stop. Here's another piece. Man, this one, there's a lot of pain around this one. And so what can I do about it? I can do a love exchange with myself. I can look in the mirror. I can speak the commitment to myself. And I can open the space for that tuning fork that resonated with the one my parents had, where their parents sprayed their hostility, rage, guilt, grief, or whatever it was on the child. And I can breathe, and I can let loose of that and free myself from that tuning fork. I can literally take that energy out of my structure. And it's a process, and it's, you know, I acknowledge your courage. You shared with me a little bit about what your childhood was like. And I acknowledge your fortitude and your courage and your willingness to keep going for it.
This is
awesome.
So great. Thank
you. Really, it's really, really awesome.
Michael,
yes.
Thank you. And I noticed that it was their avoidance of something they were uncomfortable about. So there's my avoidance pattern too. Also, anger,
good catch.
Anger at being thwarted, you know, my creative process. So I took my creator mind energy and occupied myself in my room, coping mechanisms and being creative, whatever I did, yet without any kind of a framework except being angrily put away. So this is what I'm unlocking myself from. And I think I'm getting from your On Creating Consciously DVD, you focus on I'm training myself to notice how am I using my creator energy and my mind energy. I think that's in that DVD, right? Is that
right.
What that one's
mainly
on?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, so this is really great. Wherever I am, things are loosening here. Thank you so much. Forgiveness has begun. Forgiveness is
well rooted
in here. That's good.
And millions
Aramaic,
yet unborn
Aramaic
will benefit.
Yeah.
Millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you're doing.
And that's a really big picture that I'll just take bites of. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Touching. Lots of love.
All right. Thanks, Jeannie. Thanks,
Alrighty.
Dr. Tim. Well, thanks, Michelle.
And we've announced last minute or so, so we would just say that if you are in Gainesville, Florida, on the 12th, 13th, and 14th, we are going to be at Unity of Gainesville doing a free series of workshops, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then starting on the 17th, Friday the 17th of April, we'll begin a pair of concurrent intensives. Jeannie will be doing Healing the Whole Woman, an absolutely awesome presentation of the material, specifically geared for women's issues and to support women in the healing process. I'll be doing a concurrent Why Is This Happening to Me Again 9 days. So we'll be residential intensives, awesome food, beautiful hotel setting, swimming pool, sunny Orlando. And we'll be doing that starting on the 17th. And then for anybody who chooses to go beyond that, you know, there'll be people who will just be there for either one of the 9-day intensives. And then if you want to take your work to the next level, of course, we follow that up with another 12 days of teacher training. So come and play with us. Let us know soon. We're finalizing our plan for that intensive. We'd be delighted to have you join us. And we invite you to bring us training for this show tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present six-step internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.